Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from an undisclosed location, this is Real Spoilers, episode 225, The Accountant.
I think you mean uncomfortable location.
Yeah, it's our last time in the closet. The Accountant.
Just like, I feel like we're going to repeat.
Also known, a.k.a. Batman versus Punisher.
Yeah. Oh, this movie.
Kevin, he was like, have you seen the movie yet? And I was like, did you mean this? And I sent him a picture of
Batman,
the cover of Batman versus Punisher.
John Romita Jr.
Yeah.
Hey, and their moms also have the same name, so it's very similar.
I don't... Oh, you mean the movie?
Yeah. Yeah.
Spoilers!
Say it. Why'd you say that name? I didn't even see this movie, and I was like, I feel like I've seen it.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, it's fine.
I just was... Not
you wanted to see it.
I did.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Life.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, I guess let's first go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Very quick, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go rate, review, subscribe, all that fancy stuff. It helps us a lot, and we greatly appreciate it. And that's enough of that.
That's it.
We will jump into the movie.
Yeah.
Joe?
Yeah, so this movie... You know, I saw trailers for it, and I was like, oh, man, it looks kind of like The Bourne Identity with Ben Affleck. Like, I don't know how else to describe it.
But they art housed it when they started using Radiohead, everything in its right place.
You know, it's a weird thing that they've started to do where they've taken, you know, the Defenders trailer used Come As You Are by mm-hmm. Nirvana. Mm-hmm. I think Captain America the First Avenger used Judith by Tool in
these
there.
People that are working on movies have good taste in music.
That's also true. So they figured out the music cues.
But they made this movie in the early trailers. They definitely veered away from the action portion.
Oh, they veered away from the action in this and the movie itself, too.
Yeah.
Which, at least it's not bait and switch.
It's not.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, the movie
true.
Is not action-packed.
I did not expect this movie to be action-packed. I thought of it going into it that it was more of like a mental thriller type movie. Like, I did not think it was going to be Bourne. Mm-hmm. Like, fight scene after gun fight after car chase. So I
thought there was going to be more than there was.
Yeah, I didn't, so I had no expectation of that. Which
I will say, I didn't think it was going to be a Bourne movie, but I thought it was going to be a little bit more action-driven than it was.
Yeah.
I'm not even necessarily upset that it wasn't, but yeah. I thought there'd be more.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So,
is this based on a pre-existing property?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
It feels like it'd be one of those
books.
Yeah, book
a Grisham
series.
Novel.
Or I was going to say more like a book series, like, you know, The Destroyer,
The Accountant.
Damn, man. There's like 130 of those. There's so like many.
Yeah.
What's The Destroyer?
That was Remo Williams.
Remo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
there's like 140 of those books.
There's so freaking many of those.
It's like the Parker novels.
I thought it was something like that. Like, they still write those.
Yes, they do.
The guy who wrote them brought in another writer, like to co-write, and then that guy died, and now the co-writer took it over. And I think
they brought in.
And I think that they brought in another co-writer, and then the next co-writer, the first co-writer. And it's like
the Phantom.
It's like the Dread Pirate Roberts of airport novels.
There are so many. Yeah, because I was watching Remo Williams, and I was like, you know, and they have that Remo Williams will return at the end, and then they don't. and I was like, how many books did that do? And I looked on Wikipedia, and I was reading it. I was like, I'm tired reading this.
Yeah,
because
I went down the rabbit hole about a year or two ago. I was like, what? I'm like, does this book series even still exist? Like, because I mean, I remember as a kid, they were on like 75 or something.
Yeah.
And wow. I was just like, how do you even know? How do you even start in a series like this? Like, I mean, if you wanted to jump on, you know?
I started with the Parker books.
Yeah.
I just started at the Hunter and just caught up.
Yeah. Like, but how many books are there?
I feel like there's about 25.
Okay. But also remember, when you're talking 1985 and you want to catch up on a book series,
and you're already 76 behind.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, where do you go to find the first 75
That's
books?
True. Like, that's true.
You right. know, like you
pre-internet.
Yeah, yeah. You would just have to go around to bookstores and hope eventually you would find them all.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And from what I was reading on The Destroyer, that made it sound like it really didn't kind of become the series you recognize until like the third or fourth book.
Right.
Like it was kind of something different, and then this character kind of morphed into something else, and then something else happened, and they were like, that was really popular, so they're like, replicate that more, and then they kind of found their formula. But it seems like that happens with a lot of these series. And like they were like, you can skip the first three. Like it doesn't matter.
Say for the Parker books, you can't.
Yeah.
Like, it's all the same guy. Like, the same guy wrote it until he died.
Right.
So they're all the same. Like, they're not the same. I mean, the characterization of Parker is the same through everything.
But, yeah, with this other, like, they're still writing them, but it's Kindle only. Like, it's only digital.
Oh, that's interesting.
$3 makes sense. Probably cheaper that way anyway.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about distribution.
And they know they have, like, a built-in fan base, so, like, they don't have to go to a publisher. The guy just...
Well, they literally were built on the backs of airport newsstands.
Yeah.
I mean, that franchise was like considered to be the, like, you know, they were airport novels.
Yeah, Spencer for Hire and all that.
I like that show.
Yeah.
So the writer, this is an original property, and the writer, Bill Dubuque, used to be a corporate headhunter for 12 years and got bored with that, and he actually wrote The Judge. And,
oh, we saw The Judge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
He wrote The Judge and The Accountant. So those are two movies for Warner. So I don't know how his first two movies got picked up by Warner.
Wow. I can't wait for The Actuary.
Yeah. I know. I was thinking Judge, The Accountant.
So, and then he's got a new TV series called Ozark, which has a pilot out for Amazon, I think.
It's Netflix. Oh, and it stars Jason Bateman. And they were just in the Ozarks shooting.
Oh. Yeah. So that's this guy.
And then finally, we'll find out who the Notary Public is.
Yeah, that's the point.
Nobody knows.
Jeremy Renner's going to take over and be the main
character
for that.
He's the new guy. So this one kind of starts off. We start in like a doctor's office, or like a, I don't really want to call it a sanitarium as much as like it's just like a, I guess it's a building in the woods where this doctor is he does neuroscience, and he's kind of a head up on autism and Asperger's. And we see two parents, and he's explaining, he's like, look, doctors don't really know how to deal with this yet. He's like, I am, you know, a step ahead. I've got all this different stuff. He can stay with me. We'll get him adjusted to society. And we see this little boy kind of knock over a puzzle, and he's just quickly putting this puzzle together. And, you know, they're talking to the dad is super against it, and he's in the military, and they kind of say that they move around a lot. And they're starting to give some of his symptoms where, like, his clothes, he doesn't, you know, it's one shirt that he likes to wear, and, you know, flashing lights annoy him. And the entire time this kid's putting together this puzzle, as the conversation is ending, the kid starts to freak out when he can't find the last piece. He's like, I got to finish. And finally he's given the last piece by another girl there who has severe autism, and he puts it together, and you realize the puzzle is upside down.
I thought that was really cool.
That was kind of a cool scene. It was a cool reveal where it comes up, and you realize he didn't see the picture at all.
This whole puzzle together, hundreds of pieces, looking at the back.
Right. And then I think we flash forward to present day, where we see Ben Affleck talking to an elderly couple, and he's just like, "You owe this much money to the IRS, and you got to do this, and you got to do that." And then, like, initially when you see the trailers, you think he's going to be kind of like this emotionless character, but immediately they tell you that that's not the case at all. He's helping this couple get out from like $500,000
in debt. He's not like it's not like he's a hard ass or like an uncaring person, but his autism makes it hard to socializing is not his strong suit. So he doesn't come across as being very friendly, but he's not a bad person by any means. And I think, yeah, that's why they show you this.
Yeah, so he's like...
He looks at her necklace and he's like, where'd you get that? I make it. Oh, yeah. Do you sell them? Oh, sometimes here and there. Twice. And he's like, where do you make them? And oh, on the dining room table, this. And he's like, all right, you have a home office.
So yeah, I do it's like pretty, how, yeah. how she's like, no, I don't have an office.
The husband's like...
And like, he just like looks at the husband and he's like... yes, we do yeah. have an office.
How big's your kitchen?
About 260 square feet, and he like kind of raises his thumbs, yeah. like 300 square feet.
I love that interaction. I thought Ben Affleck's character, his interactions, and they got a lot of laughs from the theater. Like, I really like how Ben Affleck played this character.
This got a lot of like more laughs than I thought it was going to. Like, there's a scene we'll get to at the end where I was like,
yeah, that
was actually a really funny scene.
Without just undermining the moment.
Exactly.
No, yeah. I thought this movie did a great job being very understated, and his character is very serious, and just because of, you know, what his character has, like, right. he acts a certain way, and so I did not expect it to be as funny as it was, but like that interaction and him and Anna Kendrick, who's always adorable, those interactions, like, that's it just got a lot of,
just lovely,
yeah,
that Anna Kendrick, yeah. Yeah,
but then he's so the old couple's like, thank you so much, you can come to my
he's like
farm.
I don't fish, I shoot. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, okay.
I'll bring my 50 caliber sniper rifle with me. I'll be sure.
I do.
That's when I saw his gun, I'm like, oh my God.
That's another good story. They go to this farm, and he's got like cantaloupes laid out. And the old man's watching from his window. And he was like, that's a mile long. Like, there's no way. He's like, I could hit that on my best day. And as soon as he says day, the first cantaloupe explodes.
Yeah.
And then the second one explodes. And the third one explodes. And he was like, oh, and then yeah. like
awesome. That got a lot of laughs.
Then the laugh came when they cut to Ben Affleck, and he just kind of waving at him.
He's like, "Hey, it's what yeah. I do." Yeah.
It's good.
So now we kind of jump to Commissioner Gordon, aka J.K. Simmons, who like just put that guy in every movie, and I'll be happy.
Oh yeah,
like, I
he's
love
great.
J.K. Simmons. He's
great.
So good.
Whatever he is in, he
yeah, he's great. Always yeah. he's always fantastic.
He needs to hit the convention circuit.
He's gonna.
Well, yeah.
He's got well, plenty he's of roles. Commissioner Jim Gordon and
yeah.
JJ.
Yeah, yeah. That's money right there. He's done.
I'm just saying he needs to. He yeah. hasn't yet.
He's really good.
But I don't know. I think the first thing I saw him in was Juno. Like at the first.
I mean, I saw him in Oz.
I would say Oz is the first thing I really remember.
I didn't watch Oz, so I really remember him.
Yeah. Yeah. Oz is a good show.
Okay,
it's a good show for the first 2.5 seasons.
Okay. Yeah, I never caught that.
That's as far as I got.
Yeah, and it gets really kind of dumb in this third or fourth season.
Do they all leave? Does Chris Maloney and J.K. do they both leave?
I'm trying to no. They kind of come back. Everybody
because he was on Law and Order.
Yeah, I think
so. Was J.K. Simmons? J.K. Simmons on the original Law and Order was their psychiatrist.
Oh, that's really? Right. Yeah, that's right. He was the psychiatrist.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's the first time I remember seeing him.
But yeah, because I remember like going back and forth between Oz and Law and Order, and I'm like. How can this guy be so different? Like, and he didn't really do anything to change his look.
Nope.
Yeah.
Or his cadence. Like, it's all the same.
It was just like, it was just, he just made it work.
And
it
then was he
like,
was Jake, and he was JJ.
Yeah.
And he owned,
he's good.
I wish they would bring him back. Like, I wish, I don't think they can.
No.
But man.
They're never going to get a better
feel,
one.
I think with where they're going, I think he'd probably
feel too cartoony.
Cartoony.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think so.
God, he was so
they
good.
Were going to an Amazing Spider-Man 3. It was rumored that they were actually, because you never saw J. Jonah Jameson.
Oh, yeah.
And so in Amazing Spider-Man 3, they were actually talking about bringing him in.
He was so good.
As,
so good.
Would have been cool.
Yeah, so he is the director of Treasury, which if you know anything, that's where the Elliot Ness joke.
Yeah.
Is well, I was like, that was good.
Elliot,
are they in the FBI?
FBI is, I think it's like a subsect of the FBI.
Okay.
So
they handle like money.
That's where Elliot Ness was. That's legit. Like he was part of part of Treasury. That's how they got Al Capone.
It was on tax evasion.
They couldn't get him on anything else, but they got
and
him on
the
tax
Secret
evasion.
Service is the Treasury Department.
Is that right?
Is it?
I'm almost positive the Secret Service is part of the Treasury
now?
Department. Now? Well,
or back then too?
I don't think they tip. Changes stuff around.
You think they? Well, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well,
okay.
You wouldn't. Cause it's a secret.
A secret.
It is a secret.
Yeah. So he kind of brings in this rookie analyst, Medea. No, Medina.
It's not Medea.
It's not Medea. Tyler Perry shows up.
Sorry. Hang on. The Secret Service is a part of Homeland Security, but until 2003, the service was a part of the Department of Treasury.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. And he kind of like says, he's like, you know, you were an analyst with this department. You were an analyst with this department. You're an analyst here. why, but you did all the work on this big case. She's like, he's like, why don't you go to agent?
She's basically like, she's solving all these cases, but
she's doing all the legwork, but getting none of the praise for it.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know, it's just a good fit. And then of course he's like, tick, 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 tick. And he turns it around and he was like, maybe it's this murder charge.
And it's weird that he looked it up on a typewriter too, yeah, I know, which is really strange.
They go old school. And I like the way she's like, it was sealed. And I was like, what does that mean?
Bitch, it's
the government.
Right.
Yeah. Nothing
is sealed. I didn't get that. Why would that be a sealed document or whatever?
There's no such thing as a sealed document.
It's your record.
From the U.S. government.
Yeah, anyway, that was odd.
And also, I was like, how did that get through? Like, how did she get through? They had to check. Like, that all had to be there.
I mean, probably not. I mean, I took it as she was a minor, even though the picture was, she was 35 in the photo. I took it as it was juvenile records, and so they probably did their initial search. It doesn't show up. She's been clean, says an adult.
Yeah, but
so.
I have a feeling if you work for the government, they search at, like,
hey, if you,
the police,
if you want to
I'll
work
tell
for
you what,
the,
for the police department now, they want access to your Facebook and Twitter pages.
Really?
Yo, like, yeah.
Do they want your password?
Illegal.
No.
Do they want your password, or do they want you to frame?
They want you to be like, show it to us.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. So I was going to say, they can't ask
for
your password.
They want to
I got
see
into it with at work one time because they wanted access to the Family Arena Facebook page.
The police did?
No, where I work.
And like, that's my personal
profile.
They were like,
we need the password. I'm like, you don't know how Facebook works. And they're like, but we need to be able to get it. I'm like, I can make you an admin, but we need the password. I'm like, it doesn't have a password. It's linked to me. And I'm like, I'm not going to give you my Facebook page. Well, you have to give it to us. I'm like, I'll just pull the Family Arena account down there.
Yeah, we're done.
I'm like, I'll just pull it down. Don't,
forget
no
it.
Problem. It's like 25,000 likes, but I'll just pull it down. And then they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I was like, I'm like, no. I'm like, you don't need, no. You're not
right.
I can
no.
do that.
No. Yeah, so... He was like, either you're going to, those just, so he's like, you're going to, this is your job. You have 3 weeks to figure out who this guy is. And they keep showing her, like, there's all these different pictures with mob bosses and drug dealers.
And now that I think about it, I don't think that is how the movie opens. Doesn't the movie open with the, like, the crime scene or the flashback?
Oh, it does. You're right.
Now
yeah.
I'm thinking
yeah,
about
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
like,
you're right.
You see this mysterious, it's very low down. It's shot
it's
down
all
by
shot.
Someone's, like,
all you
feet.
See is feet.
Yeah, you all yeah. see legs, and they're going upstairs, but they're low to the stairs. But there's, like, someone with a gun. You don't know if it's a good guy, bad guy, walking through this house, and it's just, like, dead bodies everywhere, and then you hear someone like begging for their life.
I didn't touch the old man. I didn't know anything
yeah,
about it.
And then
bam.
That's it. You never see who that was in the
right,
house.
You're right.
What's going
I forgot
on,
about that.
Anyway.
Which is a scene that keeps coming back.
It's important.
Yeah,
to
it's
the
an
movie,
important
so.
Scene. So he kind of says, like, you need to figure out who this guy is in 3 weeks. If you don't, you're going to jail for lying on a federal application. So she was like, sweet. All right.
Which is interesting. You know, it's kind of a moral dilemma because to myself, I thought, man, that sounds
kind
of blackmail-y. But then I'm like, well,
kind
of
blackmail-y?
Like, well, yeah, but I'm like, she lied on it's his job. Like, if he discovers her, he's actually giving her an out because
right.
he should turn her in and she should go to federal prison.
Yeah.
So I'm like, is it really blackmail-y when you're asking for help to not throw someone in jail? You
I
know
guess that's.
He's
yeah.
doing her the favor,
yeah,
right?
I guess that's true.
So in my head, I was battling with it because I'm like, man, that doesn't sound right, but. He's being nicer than he has to
yeah,
be. You know what I mean?
Guess.
Like, it's just a weird...
So this is where we get to the very thin plot of this movie. Like, this... The introduction of...
Pay attention. Here's the thick of the plot.
Yeah. The introduction of... it's Jean Smart, right? That's who that is? The sister?
I don't know.
From
Designing Women?
Isn't she play the... Like, in the... There's the two people that kind of bring Ben Affleck in... To go, like they're
I
saying,
watch a lot of girl shows, but even I draw the line at Designing Women.
But I'm but she's been
other stuff.
Like she was on.
I watch Ugly Betty and Desperate Housewives. But
my Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
But that shows that show on television.
It's the dad from 30 Rock.
Cynthia sent me a link.
Yeah,
she was like, watch this one. This one's hilarious. And I was like, stop taking Tom's side. I'm not watching this show.
You know why she's taking my side?
Because that's a good show.
Because I'm right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Like, you gotta watch that show from beginning to end. It's like, it's because it's like the story, it's a story that moves along from week to week. And like, it is worth it for the final episode of the first season. The way I don't know that I've ever seen a show stick the landing the way this show did in its final 10 minutes.
Interesting.
Like, I don't even want to say any more.
You haven't watched Luther yet.
But it was just, like, I was...
Okay, let's just have an exchange student program.
Yeah, you watch Luther.
I'll
watch My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
No, I have every intention of watching Luther. I just haven't got it. I'm not like...
Well, until that happens.
Right after The Wire, he's going to start Luther.
You know what? You got Luther in The Wire. So, you know, that's fine. He's in The Wire.
Sounds like a PBS kids book.
Luther and the Wire.
Luther and the Wire. Right after the red balloon.
Balloon.
Yeah, that's right. So they bring, this company brings Ben Affleck in as the accountant. They're like, you came very highly recommended, because there is another girl in our accounting department who has found a flub.
Discrepancy.
There's money missing, and we just want to make sure that she is not wrong, or we should make sure that she's wrong. And Affleck's like, okay. Like, and
we should mention he usually is only an accountant for like criminals, like nuclear arms
they
dealers.
Pretty much say, like,
and
if you want your money set straight, apparently, you know, and you want to do it from a guy who's outside of your organization who won't steal from you, this is how you
He's
do it.
He's the guy
this
for
is,
like
this
the
is the guy
underworld dealing.
Because you constantly see like the back of his head in all of these pictures. Yeah. Like, and he, and like, I have to believe that's all by design. Like, he knows where the cameras are.
Yeah.
So he's constantly hiding
I
his
thought
face
it was great. He
cameras.
Was smart enough to only take pictures of the back of his head. I'm like, really? You know where every camera is so that you get on surveillance, but it's the back of your
right.
head?
Yeah.
He's, like, what are the chances of you, you know, it doesn't matter.
There's also a great, like,
did you see the super powered autism?
Did you see the two comic books that he had?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I saw the one as an action.
And he had the first appearance of the original Green Lantern.
Okay.
Was the other one.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I was like, well, all right, well done.
I like a little superhero
references. I was hoping it would have been great if it was Amazing Spider-Man 129. Like, that would have been the ultimate nod.
Yeah. I was really, you'll get this.
Sweet.
I was really not happy with the condition of Action Comics number one, because, like, there is...
It's in a bag and a board.
And it was... Jim Mint.
Yeah.
Like, there, like, I mean, it still had the sheen, like, it right. just pulled it off. The, like, there is no version of that book
I
that
think
exists
that, there might,
that looks like that.
I think they just sold a 9.0.
Oh, I thought the best was, like, an 8.
Nah, I think it was a 9.
They just sold one for, like, 10 million.
That was the 9.
Oh, I know, but I thought, I thought there were only, like, 7 known in existence.
Right.
So
there might, you still might be right, but I'm almost positive.
And I didn't think any of them were Mint.
Whatever this
well,
one was,
no, that, that's still an un, like, if there is one, nobody knows about it.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's this guy's got that, it. That's the find, thing.
Here's the problem. It's also in a bag and a board and not slabbed.
Yeah.
Like, I think slabbing is dumb unless you have an action number one.
Unless you have
a
like,
high
that's a,
dollar.
That's a historic book.
That is,
that's not like, I'm going to slap my first appearance of Squirrel Girl.
Well, this movie just fell apart.
This movie
this is
awful.
Is rumored
to be played by Anna Kendrick.
That's also true. That's true, yeah.
They should have had the first Batman. They should have had the
first Batman
Punisher.
First Punisher would
Those
have been a
two
nice
would
little
have
nod.
Been great, but... Yeah.
First appearance of Gambit. They should have had...
That's a weird one.
They should have had a... they should have had... First issue of Gamma Rodders. They
first
I
appearance
see
of J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah, I see
obviously.
People slabbing stuff all the time where it's just like, why would you do that? Why did you slab your new 52 Batman number one? That's not worth anything. You
issue
idiot.
3 of Sonic Disruptors.
So now that we know this movie's completely unbelievable.
Completely unbelievable.
Moving on.
Speedball.
Yeah, first
the John
appearance
Belushi
of no.
story.
Speed the adaptation.
How awesome
picture.
Would it be to find like some random? Because they used to do that. They would do like SNL casts, like the Avengers with David Letterman or whatever, where it's just like Speedball and John Belushi. And it's like, well, that was,
you know, the 80s were great. There was a character named Speedball.
Yes, yeah, so we're just saying there
and
was
nobody raised an eyebrow, which is even weirder because John Belushi was famous for how he could raise his eyebrow.
That's true. Then they didn't even put it together.
No.
So he kind of goes into this office and he immediately is like accusing the president or the second in command of stealing them. He's like, how long have you been here?
Wanted the last 10 years.
He's like, and he was like, this is unbelievable. I can't believe you'd think that we would do that. He's like, how long have you been here? He's like, 15 years. He's like, make that the last 15 years.
I love it. And I love it how the way that Affleck plays this character. I just think he did an
awesome
job.
Here's what I will
it.
Say. As much as I love Ben Affleck, he can't turn it off. Like,
what do you mean?
He has certain moments where he's just Ben Affleck. Like, he's got that eaten grin at one point, and I was like, come on, dude.
I mean, he smiled, but that was like 2 times in the movie.
But I'm just saying, like, there's a scene in a hotel room where he is delivering lines, and it's Affleck. Like,
the hotel room scene was, he was flirty,
doing,
and that character wouldn't be flirty.
And it's tough because... When Affleck turns
because
it on.
Because it's Anna Kendrick. How do you not flirt with
her? How do you not flirt with Anna Kendrick?
That's the way that you bring
it
out of her.
I will believe Anna Kendrick is so attractive, she could cure your autism.
See?
I absolutely think
saying.
You are correct.
That's the most believable part of the movie.
She moves you like 3 degrees to the left on
right.
the spectrum.
And you're like, oh, I'm completely normal. I'm Batman. No, wait.
She should be Robin.
No. No.
Didn't you see
that? I saw that, yeah.
She was younger.
Maybe.
I could see her. I could see her being
as
like
Carrie Kelly?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like a Dark Knight Robin.
All right.
I could see
maybe.
Her.
Oh, I guess.
Okay, like this is a conversation that we can watch Joe dig a hole.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was like, yeah, all right. I could just put Anna Kendrick in a movie. I don't care.
Yeah.
She's in Trolls.
Oh,
she's the voice in Trolls, yeah.
Don King is plays the hair.
No. They have to make that reference, right?
No, it's like actually that, the guy that played Don King in Rocky.
Yeah, playing in Rocky V.
Yeah, I don't think they're gonna
punch me. I'll sue. Yeah, so he kind of goes in and he shows back up, and the entire there's this other side plot where you've got this security expert, I guess is what you. It's John Bernthal.
He's basically like a hitman.
Well, I think he's like, yeah, I guess he is a hitman.
He's
I guess
a hitman,
you're right.
Is all too. They hire him. He's killing people that you want taken out.
What's the first time we see him? Because it's not with the CEO. It's there's another one.
The first time you see him is when there's a guy in a car that has been selling a company short.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And
that's right.
He doesn't actually kill him, which is interesting because he kills everybody else when you see
him.
Well,
I think he says he's like, he's,
well,
yeah,
he
so it's,
option,
a, it's a British, like he parks the British guy goes to his car and somebody has parked too close on the driver's side. Yeah. So he has to go on the passenger side.
And when he scoots in before he can lock the door again, I mean, this was smart how he did it. And he scooted right in. And yeah, he basically like puts a silencer on a pistol, just intimidating him, puts it up. And then he eventually puts it up on the dashboard and just talks to him. But he's like, you know, I work for someone, you've been selling this company short and you need to stop. And then this guy's basically like,
I can't, all sorts of companies, like, you better stop it all.
Yeah, you better stop all.
He's like, the scene that I did like is he kind of like backhands him in the throat.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, the guy says something kind of snarky and he hits him again and he was like, same spot, man. Why would you let somebody hit you in the same spot two times in a row?
But
and
he the
was
third
like,
time he hit him in a different
place. Yeah, hit
place.
Him in the chest.
Yeah.
But yeah. I was like, what if, like, I was almost like, there was another movie that we saw that had some really weird comedic beats that were legitimately funny.
Yeah.
And this is very similar where they had...
Because they're like real world things that you don't ever hear in movies, but it's like something that makes sense.
Right.
So it's funny. I love that when they write a little bit differently than you would in that situation.
Oh, no. It was Hell or High Water.
Yeah.
Where they had like some strange comedic beats. Yeah. So now you've got like... It's almost... You've got John Bernthal on this path to meet up with... Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
So Affleck gets all of the information and he walks in and there's Anna Kendrick sleeping on the table. And of course he's like constantly like he closes the door real hard and she
another
doesn't,
funny
doesn't,
part.
Yeah, yeah, doesn't wake up and he kind of walks through. He's like, hello. And
I like how
she
he goes,
doesn't wake
like,
up.
Trying to clear his throat. And
so like then he grabs the back of her chair and is like, and finally she wakes up. And she was
what
like,
did you do on the back of her chair?
He grabbed
for those people that can't see what you're
doing. He shook the chair back and forth.
Okay, I just want to make sure because you got to remember they can't see
that's
you.
True,
so you might.
That's your new Foley sound.
Lord.
There it is. Use that instead of bagaw.
The old chicken.
Poor Leanne.
Yeah, story of her life. So, yeah, she wakes up and she's just kind of like, here's all the information. I have it by date. I have it by this. And she's like, okay.
In my head, she woke up and was just like, oh, I'm so cute.
Yeah.
Just look at me.
Just look at me. I'm so adorable.
Did she say something else? For the first 5 minutes, I thought she just said that.
I felt like she was the same character from Up in the Air.
Yeah.
Like, that's the character that I, you know.
She because was more angry and up there. She's very buttoned up and terse.
Yes.
Okay. I guess because she was in an office environment is why you're thinking like, you know what I mean? Because,
So she's just like, okay. And then she kind of just stands there and Affleck's like, all right, see ya.
Yeah.
And he's like, do you need anything? She's like, no.
I think she basically, since she found the error, she wanted to help.
Of course.
And she also probably didn't want to go back to her boring accounting job. Like she was very excited that she found this thing and wanted to help like crack the case.
Right.
And Affleck's like, you're dismissed. You know? Like,
thanks very much.
And he's Ben Affleck.
That's true. So this is, this was the scene where I was like, I don't really know what kind of movie this is supposed to be. Because then
he starts.
This is the Beautiful Mind scene.
I haven't thought of that since we started.
Yeah. So the Beautiful Mind scene starts where he starts going through all of the.
It's the montage of, you know,
like
writing.
He's writing all the numbers and he's circling stuff in red and he works through his whole whiteboard. Now he's writing on the glass windows and the, you know, the doors. And he finally he gets to a point where he's like, ha ha. And he figures it out, and Anna Kendrick comes in.
It's the next morning.
Anna Kendrick comes in, and he was like, you're right. Like, they're missing I don't know, like $132 million or something.
Like that. I think it was $62
million. Is that what it
was? Yeah.
So then Jean Smart comes in and she's like,
with Meshach like, Taylor.
Somebody else watched Designing Women.
I didn't watch it, but I know enough.
Annie Potts.
I have enough
Annie Potts was
pop
that,
cultural residue to retain things.
So she kind of dismisses Anna Kendrick and she's like, what's the number? And he was like, oh, $62 million is missing. And then this is like, so they realize that the COO or the guy who's in charge has been somehow like stealing money, what they assume is stealing money. So he's one night, the COO is in his bedroom or he hears somebody move around downstairs.
He has
so
his fancy rich person pajamas on. Because all rich people have to wear blue button up, you know,
I feel like
matching
those would be the most uncomfortable things to wear to bed.
But if you're rich,
like
you have to wear
the full blown pajama suit.
He only didn't have the cap with the little fuzzy ball on the end.
And like a little candle and a saucer.
I think he left it in the bedroom and forgot to bring it.
I just, that whole idea of like, it just drives me crazy. I get cringy just thinking,
I
like,
can't do it.
It's too much
stuff.
Layering, and you just get all caught up. And
t-shirt and shorts.
I can't even do a t-shirt.
I don't like my sheets tucked in. So like when I get to a hotel,
you're like George
Costanza.
First
thing I have to do is like kick the crap out of the bottom of it because it's like,
but these people have long.
Too tight. It's too tight.
Yeah. These people have long button up.
Yeah, she's his wife's wearing like a nightgown.
What?
No, I'm not.
No.
His wife's wearing the exact same thing.
I don't go home and get undressed so I can get dressed.
Right.
Yeah. I had to get dressed before I get to sleep.
Right. Yeah. So he goes downstairs and there's John Bernthal sitting there. And
he sees there's his milk out. And at first I'm like, oh, who just leaves milk on the counter?
Gross.
So he gets to put the milk on the counter away. And John Bernthal's there with like milk and cookies.
No, he's eating the lemon meringue pie and a thing of milk. And he's got two like syringes full of insulin.
Yeah, I thought this was really interesting because I've never seen this.
Yeah, he's like, you're going to give yourself an insulin overdose because of what you've done.
And he's like, but he's very diplomatic about it.
Yeah, he was like, either you can do this or I'll kill you. And then I'm going to
go violate
your wife and I'll kill her and then I'll kill your daughter. And the guy like starts breaking down. He's like, I'm sorry, I took
that
a little too far. Like, I'm not going to violate your wife.
I like the writing. Like, whoever this guy is that just came on the scene that used to be a headhunter, a corporate headhunter, like, he's got an interesting writing style.
Right.
I didn't see The Judge, but I thought you guys kind of enjoyed it.
It was okay.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing that Robert Duvall and Robert Downey Jr. carried that movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Like if it had been two other people, it would have been awful.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. I thought this movie had some really interesting writing. Like, with Bernthal's character, just interesting things he said that you wouldn't normally, you know, see from that character. And so anyway, I did like that.
Yeah,
so,
no, he was like, look, I'm sorry.
So the next,
I got carried away.
Yeah. So then the next day, it just cuts to the chase. Affleck goes back to work
and they're wiping everything. Yeah. Like the maintenance guys are wiping down all of the numbers and Affleck, you know, we had seen him as a boy freak out about not being able to finish the puzzle.
Yeah.
So now he didn't finish the thing and he starts to freak out again. He's like, I didn't finish. And then John Lithgow, who I forgot to mention, who is the owner of this what do you call them?
It's like a robotics company.
Yeah,
there's
but
three parts.
They're doing
prosthetics.
Prosthetics.
Like, he has three
robotic
prosthetics.
Yeah. He has a toy company, the robotics company, and then the
and he makes
government.
Yes.
That's right.
That's the toy
Dildonics.
Company.
Yeah.
That's
Dildonics.
Dildonics.
Yeah. Yeah. Trademark real spoilers.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
Lane.
Ours. That's ours.
Stay
Lane.
Away from it.
Yeah.
So John Lithgow, who I always forget that I always dig. Like, you don't see him much anymore.
He's always good.
He was
Interstellar,
great.
Right? He's the dad in Interstellar.
Yeah. He is the dad in Interstellar.
He
You're
is.
Right.
He's always good.
He's starting to I mean, he's been in a lot of these little serious roles.
He's one of those guys. I mean, he's like Duvall.
Yeah.
He's like John Goodman. It's like
every time
and
then
Anthony Hopkins. It's like even at the worst, they're still great.
Yeah, I can't wait for Westworld episode 3 tonight.
I was like, what do you mean? I already started.
It's so good. The third episode. You haven't seen the second episode yet, Dan?
No, I have.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm two behind.
It's
We watched one. I've seen the first.
So 3 isn't until tonight. But
right.
Man, that show's good.
It's definitely hooking.
Yeah, it's stellar. Yeah. At the end of the episode, I'm just
Ellie was like,
oh, man.
We started watching it, and she's like, I can't, you know, because it's too many shows. And I'm like, I'll watch it. And then I watched it that night. And I'm like, yeah, I think you're going to have to watch it.
Yeah.
I think HBO is also invested.
Investing.
I mean, they
at
spent,
least in one season.
Well, yeah, because it was supposed to air earlier. First of all, you got Jonathan Nolan and J.J. Abrams.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Nolan Christopher Nolan's
and
brother.
J.J. Abrams' producing partner on Star Trek and Star Wars.
Yeah.
So, and you got Jonathan Nolan, who wrote Memento, you know, and a lot of the scripts that Christopher Nolan worked on. So, you know, you could tell that, like, they've got apparently plotted out for 5 years.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So that last scene in episode one where she swats the fly, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh,
yeah.
My
like,
God.
I think it's one of those ones where it's like, there's enough going on and it's not very linear.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, as far as the linear story, that it's definitely,
you need to see episode two, Joe.
We just haven't had time to get down to
it. But anyway, Anthony Hopkins, I'm like, this guy, I feel like he's been that age for 20 years.
You mean Lithgow or Anthony Hopkins? Are you still talking about Westbrook?
Oh, yeah. I'm amazed. It's like, dude, that guy's still got it.
Luckily,
yeah.
like, he started looking old, like, right after Silence of the Lambs.
Mm-hmm.
And he just never got older. Like, yeah, he's
And I kind of wonder if they aged him up a little bit.
Do you know that?
Yeah.
I had no idea. I just found that out.
I thought
the whole scene where the idea that they send in Clarice to talk to the serial killer is based on Ted Bundy. They sent in some rookie FBI agent to talk to him, to appeal to him, and it worked.
Wow.
And Ted Bundy started telling him everything. But yeah, there you go. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I think they maybe are even aging Anthony Hopkins a little bit for Westworld.
Interesting.
I think. I can't.
He's getting up there, but anyway, so Lithgow's good in this.
Lithgow's great.
Always good.
Yeah. He's, again, weird comedic beats with Lithgow, who always kind of has that weird, like, skewed sense of humor. You know what I mean? Yeah. So... He comes in, and then this is where Lithgow comes back in, and he's just kind of like, look, I don't know what you found. He's like, are you telling me that my friend, my best friend for my entire life, has been a diabetic for the last 30 years and he can't figure out how to give himself an insulin shot? You know, whatever you found set this in motion, and Affleck is still kind of freaking out. He throws him the remainder of his check.
He's like,
whatever,
you've been paid,
get out of here. Like, I don't want to see, like, hopefully, if you're as good as your job that you say you are, I hope I never have to see you again. You're going to see him again.
It's John Lithgow.
Like, that's true. Yeah. Right.
You don't cast John Lithgow for one scene. If it's like just at the row. Yeah. Like, if it's not important, it's the guy in the pajamas.
But we've already killed that guy.
Exactly.
So.
Yes. Right. That's
I don't know.
That's why that guy's only in one scene.
Yeah. Right.
He's a pajama guy. You're John Lithgow. You're bringing that guy back around.
Yeah. That's weird. Or a cameo, I guess.
Yeah.
This is a Warner Brothers movie, you know, fresh off the heels of Batman v Superman. So they do kill people off kind of randomly.
Bro. We're just having fun, bro.
Just having fun with it.
It's not a Zack Snyder film.
It's not a Zack Snyder film. Thank God.
Was Jonathan Lithgow's character named Jimmy Olsen?
I almost feel like in Justice League, they're going to be like, no, we have Kara Danvers over here, too. Oh, there, we just killed her as well.
No,
wait a minute.
No,
she was sitting next to Lana Lang, and we shot Crypto. Right, we just shot them all at the same time.
Crypto was that dog from Man of Steel.
No, Crypto was not. That was the dog from Superman for All Seasons by Jeff Loeb.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
But Batmite.
Batmite, though.
So you want to talk about how fast. It's a blink and you missed it.
They're going to add Streaky. They're going to add Ace the Bat Hound. They're going
to
add all
just
kinds
to
of
kill
stuff.
Them
just
off.
To kill them off.
Man-Bat.
Man-Bat. Hey, that's a cool villain.
Yeah.
I would like to see that on screen sometime. So Affleck starts, what we forgot to mention is
his routine.
So, like, his old man was this hardcore army vet who if the lights and the feel irritate him, he needs more of it. So we go through his routine, and I have to believe that this is what his old man did. So what he put him in loud noises, I guess, was the other one.
Yeah.
So he goes into his room, he turns off the light, and he kicks this strobe light on, and he turns on, like, hardcore metal, and he takes, like, this baton, and he's rubbing it up and down his shin.
So he's, like, overstimulating himself, trying to heal himself.
Right, then he takes, like, this pill, and that's his routine. Like, that's his routine every day.
So, Dan, can you guess, after he can't finish this accounting problem, what happens to his routine?
He plays Enya.
Yeah.
No, well, he goes, he turns it up to 11.
He's trying to play Enya with Anna Kendrick.
Yeah, that's right. so he has a set time with how long this usually takes. But also, like, the way he drives his car is a certain way. So like, he drives it in and stops it right at the right. So when he gets home from this time,
he like comes with his driveway.
He
turns,
whips around,
and the garage door is already open. And he just barely clears it, and then he like stops dead. And
everything's
the
garage like perfectly
door closes.
Done.
Yeah. But then this time, he does not clear it. He has to wait.
Like, I was like, when's
the
this
Batmobile? And the
everything's
bat
thrown off.
Exactly. Yeah. The garage door closes down on the back of the truck. He hits the wall.
It was
kind of
starting to stress me out how his routine was going. You know what I mean? He has all these routines, and I was starting to get a little anxiety. Like, oh my gosh,
everything
this
wasn't working. So he goes in, he turns the light on faster, he turns the music up louder, and he is just like grinding his shin with this baton. And he can't get it. Like, he starts to sweat.
I wonder if he really made himself bleed, because it looked really recent. He was hitting his leg.
I have to believe he did.
And there were cut. I know, but it just, I'm just like, I wonder if he really did that. Jeez.
To where he just can't get it together, and then he ends up like cracking the, I mean, it's like a thick baton, and he ends up cracking it over his shin, and then like the time expires. Like, he thinks
the pills knock on the ground.
He thinks he's been doing it for the 10 minutes, and it's been like 3. So, you know, he goes a little crazy, and then I don't remember how we got to where he has to go see Gene Smart.
He basically wants to keep working on the case,
and then he realizes,
because he thinks she's in on it, and he's like, I'm gonna go get answers or something. So he's gonna go talk to her.
You're right.
They send somebody to the farm to take out to go after the tax family that he's helping.
The farm family.
That's what it is.
And then he goes there and saves the family. And then he takes the guy, and he's like, what are you doing? And he hands him
ID card.
Anna Kendrick's ID card. Right. And he knows that he's like, I was told to kill you both. And then he's like, thanks for letting me know. And then he kills him.
And then another great scene where, like, so this older couple from the beginning of the movie, they go to take them out. And Affleck is there shooting anyway. Like, he's just there doing his thing. And one of the guys goes, that's later. Never mind. But so they're poking their head out, like, from this doorway, and Affleck just goes pew, and like picks one of them off, and then he kills the other guy in a car.
Guy is like, pull your truck around, and he's gonna take them as hostage,
right? So they're driving, and then Affleck literally goes full Batman, where he jumps on the back of the truck and he pulls a guy out of
the window.
He just
holds this 50 caliber sniper rifle up. He's just holding it and picks the guy off.
And they go over the top, and he's got him in this chokehold. And
he blows up the engine. I'm sorry. He doesn't pick him up, but he just blows the engine up.
He shoots
up
the engine out of the truck.
Yeah.
And he kills this guy, and the old couple are sitting there. And again, he's just like, all right, thanks.
And then
he waves and walks away.
And it is hilarious.
And it cuts back to the old couple, and they're just like,
Yeah, it was good.
So then he goes to see Anna Kendrick.
Yeah.
And this is where he takes out like 4 more guys. And then he takes Anna Kendrick to his trailer, which we find,
These were some good action scenes. I thought they were
good.
Scenes and shooting, like, I mean,
there's no quick
Ben
cuts.
Affleck goes John Wick on these guys.
Yes.
Like when he, there's not many, and he doesn't fight a lot of people, like John Wick kills 90 people in 10 minutes or whatever. But
I saw that training montage. He could probably do it.
But I'm sure he could. It's awesome. But I mean, when Ben Affleck does go up against 4 or 5 guys or whatever, he is just like, boom, double tap around the corners. Like, it's
awesome.
There's
no double tap. Like, he's shooting him in the head.
Well, he shot him in the chest and the head. He did some double taps.
Oh, that's
I remember.
Did, yeah.
But I'm just like, he goes John Wick, like, it's cool. I thought he did a great job of the way he moved and did that.
I also think that's Affleck knows how to I have to believe that when Affleck is acting in a movie and not directing, he probably takes a little he directs himself, you know what I mean? Like, so he knows how to frame an action sequence.
Yeah, he's
so
experienced enough to where,
and this guy may not yet.
Yeah,
you know, like, I don't think I've seen any this guy this director
oh, this guy yeah
is this
he's
Gavin O'Connor?
Yeah.
All right.
So he takes out like 4 bodyguards. There's 2 guys in like a refrigerator repair outfits that take Anna Kendrick hostage, and then there's 2 bodyguards standing outside, and he just
it's nobody's business.
Yeah,
like,
she
he
does
just
a pretty good job
right
defending herself, which I was surprised.
There was great, like, easy buddy. Where she takes off like the back of a toilet, and this guy has like punched his way through the wall, and like he's reaching for the handle, and she just takes the back of this toilet and just crushes his hand.
But and so anyway, he comes in and takes them out, takes the bodyguards out. It was awesome. And then he's like, we gotta go. I thought he was gonna say, come with me if you wanna live, because it just, you know.
She does have a bit of a reaction where she's just like, what wait a minute.
Who are you?
What is happening? Yeah.
You're that weird accountant.
Yeah. You never talked to me. She's like, I pretty much threw myself at you.
You just shook my chair.
I did like all their interactions. And I like how it also showed that it wasn't him being a D-bag. Like, because actually, he warmed up to her eating lunch. And he actually said, have a good day.
See,
you
no,
saw
I
him
thought,
kind
no,
of break out of his
shell. Was him trying to
he's like, people like it when you say this.
Yeah, he was trying to acclimate himself to like, oh, because we forget to mention that he was in jail and he was the cellmate of Jeffrey Tambor, who kind of is coaching him as like how to be more human.
And we know the Bluth patriarch is always in jail.
Always in jail.
I mean,
like poor poor Don Bluth.
Yeah.
Not Don
He
Bluth.
Does all the bookkeeping for the banana stand.
Yeah. That's right. He's like, this
there's
is how you do it.
Always money in
the
banana
stand.
There's always money in the banana stand. Love that.
So we see Jeffrey Tambor, and he's kind of had this relationship with Affleck where he's kind of like, he's coaching Affleck on how to work with money, but he's also like teaching him how to be a human. And we don't realize that Affleck is his protection. Like, you don't realize that till we find out later that the entire time, Jeffrey Tambor was a
informant.
He started off as like he became an informant, but he was like the bookkeeper for all like the Gambino mob family. So,
well, and I think that's how he becomes a bookkeeper.
Right.
We find out that he's not in jail for his criminal bookkeeping.
He's there for something else.
He's there for something else, which we find out in an exposition dump later.
it pretty much becomes that Tambor is ratting on the. Everything that he's done, but he's got Affleck to watch his back. So, you know, and of course Affleck can snap a guy's neck just by snapping his fingers. That's the talent. Yeah. So Affleck takes Anna Kendrick to the trailer, and this is where we see, you know, like the Action Comics. So we realize he's got a Jackson Pollock, an original Pollock painting. He's got some other.
He's also a Guardians of the Galaxy fan.
That's right. Yeah. What a great line. This place had a black light. It looked like a Jackson Pollock painting. So he's got an Action Number One. He's got a first appearance of the Green Lantern. He's got these priceless paintings. He's got other stuff.
Money in all currencies, a passport drawer.
Yeah. You know, he's like Doc Brown.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, exactly.
Got commemorative plates from the Franklin Mint.
Yeah.
He has a 2015 almanac.
Yeah, he has a Hummel collection.
He has all the thimbles.
He has all 50 quarters from all 50
all
states.
50 states. Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah, that's
he has all those state refrigerator magnets. You know,
he has
all variations of the $1 bill. He's got those.
Yeah, he has the on scene. Sold on TV $2 coins that sell for $10. So you know those
he's
are
got,
worth.
He's got the bullet that killed Aaron Burr. He's got the whole thing. That's a milk ad from way back
in the
day. Thank you. So she's just like, who are you? And she ends up looking in the back of the trailer, and that's where his arsenal is.
Yeah.
So he likes soccer too.
I was gonna go with the Green Arrow.
I was thinking,
I was well done.
Yeah,
that was good. So he's just kind of like, look, they were there to kill you. I'm gonna go talk to the person who hired me.
And he's also like, chill out, I'm throwing off my entire routine just
that
to
is
keep
true
you
he's
safe.
Like
because she's like kind of freaking out.
She's like,
you
gotta go to the cops. He's no.
Yeah, he's like, it takes me 12 minutes and you're messing this
up.
Yeah. The other thing they do reference is this
which
weird
last 12 minutes with Anna Kendrick. That's not what he was.
Refractory time and then the redo. Maybe.
You're not 22 anymore.
That's true, yeah. There's this weird British gal operator that he's always talking to. It's like his conscience, where she's just like, you know, I need a new identity, I need this, and she was like, okay, get to the trailer, and he was like, they're gonna kill Dana. And she was like,
Not your problem. But it's Anna Kendrick.
Yeah,
she's
like, you
she's
don't,
so freaking cute.
You don't understand about Dana. Yeah. Anna. Dana. Yeah. Dana. Not Anna. Dana. So she finally, he's like, give me a name and an address. Or give me an address and a phone number. So she does. And this is where he
goes.
That's
how he finds her at the apartment, yeah.
So now he goes to see Jean Smart, and he sees this dude walking out of Jean Smart's apartment. And he's walking, and he's kind of shady looking, and of course Affleck is immediately tuned into like, what is this guy doing
leaving
this gal's house at this time. turns out it's John Bernthal. Like, mm-hmm. we get to another scene, and then Bernthal kind of gets the idea that he's being followed and immediately fires two shots at Affleck. Bernthal takes off. Affleck goes inside, and he sees that Jean Smart has been shot in the head.
So, not so smart now.
Not so smart. Wow.
She wearing a jammies?
She was, she you know what? She was wearing a robe. Yeah.
Was it a monogrammed?
It's, yeah.
With
it's,
fancy initials?
It did, yeah. Just JS. Just bring your own. We don't even want to make the costume for this. Just bring your own.
We're on a budget.
Yeah, right. So Affleck goes inside, sees this, and he was like, okay. And then realizes that Lithgow is the it, you know, is probably the one responsible for cleaning up
what
the loose
most
ends.
Famous person
I know
is the one who's
do you think
behind
he's more
all?
Famous than Affleck
is this well
when I
the
thought
most
well,
famous
more established
the most
Affleck.
Famous yeah. Yeah. the most fa- it's the Murder She Wrote theory
right,
yes.
right, right.
the most
yeah.
famous guest star
yeah. it's not him,
it's yeah. not him. The
isn't
villain.
It the economy of character or something like that Ebert wrote about that
yeah
it's like what? When you have a character who seems insignificant and it's a somewhat well-known character actor or actor and they have a tiny role, they'll be seen again.
Unless you're yeah. Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith shows up on an episode of Law and Order and he's the guy that leads them to the guy.
Yeah.
Where they're going to a fisher's market and he's loading a truck and they're like, hey, do you know this guy? And he was like, yeah, he's over there.
Yeah.
And that was it. Well, you never see him again.
You know, it's like when you see, like, there's so many shows where it's like you'll see somebody who's always cast as like the heavy or the villain.
Yeah.
And they'll like talk to the suspects. Like Law and Order always used to do
Law
that.
Orders,
and they would have like a character actor and you're like, well, it's that guy who's always a bad guy.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, no, it's this guy. And then it's like, well, of course it's that guy. And it's because it's always that guy.
They did that.
That guy's bad guy.
There was a gal that they brought in as like a suspect.
It's like, why is Rocky's brother in this episode? Yeah. And then it's like,
he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
There's an episode where there's a gal who was a suspect and is found guilty. The same actress comes back to be their new ADA.
Yeah. Oh, there's like an episode where Jerry Orbach is a police officer. Or no, I mean is a lawyer.
It, yeah.
Before he's cast as a
what's his name?
Detective.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny. That's
Peter
hilarious.
Capaldi was on Doctor Who before he yeah. became Doctor Who, but they even
do they reference it?
They retconned it. Yeah. And they kind of it was kind of like
did they say
okay.
he took his Is because or something?
Yeah, but he was like somebody. His family were in Pompeii, and they were about to die, and you know, so he saved this one family from Pompeii, and he was the father, and then
that's Dr.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, he was on the show.
Interesting.
That happens a lot.
That's pretty smart.
So I think we should stop at this point to say something really interesting and totally coincidental, I'm sure, is that they keep flashing back to Ben Affleck's character's childhood, and they keep showing the dad, and they keep showing Ben Affleck and his younger brother. We've never seen the younger brother yet, but they show constantly Ben Affleck and his younger brother in the flashback. So it's like, where's his younger brother?
So,
No.
Keep that in mind.
Really?
Keep that in mind that we haven't seen the younger brother yet.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's too much.
Yeah.
So just want to throw that out there because I'm watching the movie and I'm like, they haven't showed us.
I was the exact same. So they go to a scene.
Did you have the same reaction that I had?
Yes.
Just hear it? But you're like,
yeah.
No, don't do that.
Yeah. So they go to a scene where like the two brothers are being trained by Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah.
And they have to fight Ra's al Ghul.
Right. Later. Yeah. This is the first step. Yeah, they're getting trained by Dukard, and they're going to get, you know.
You didn't know Bruce Wayne had a brother, but.
Yeah. I think
there is
a story where Bruce Wayne has a brother.
James Bond's adoptive brother.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Which one was that?
Blofeld, when they did it.
Yeah, that's right.
Bond.
That's
it was
right.
The one
they
where
were
like,
brothers. That's right.
We didn't need that.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Just be a villain.
Just be a bad guy.
Yeah, that was
weird.
Don't
be the architect for all his pain.
Yeah.
You gotta have Christoph Waltz say that line.
I know. Yeah. It's just, but that's the thing. It was like, that's what killed that whole thing. It was like, no. I mean, there was like this massive retcon.
Right.
Like,
yeah, that was.
Come on.
That was weird. Yeah. They realized that John Lithgow is the one behind it. So this entire time, now you've got this Treasury agent who's putting it together. She uses fake facial reconstruction to figure out what his face looks like.
Also the names, all his aliases,
aliases are mathematical. Well, except for was Lewis Carroll a mathematician?
No.
I just thought he just wrote.
I guess he was.
Perv.
What did he write? What was the big book that he wrote?
Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah. But I guess he still was interested in mathematics.
But if you look at those pictures, he's autistic.
Yeah.
Like, he's never looking at the camera. He's never, which is the way I thought they were going to go.
The painting camera that takes your picture and then paints it.
Right. Isn't that how that works back then? They just take your picture?
The selfie painting.
The selfie painting.
Yeah.
It's only a matter of time. You know it's coming.
I think Van Gogh already did it.
That's true. Yeah. That's a good point. I just mean like a filter.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure that exists. Yeah. There's a lot of filters.
So I thought that they were going to look at mugshots, and she was going to look at mugshots where, like, show me all the mugshots.
Because they do go through, like, mugshots.
But she can't figure anything out. So, like, you know, but they were going to look for ones that, for the guy isn't looking at the camera. Yeah. And they don't do that. And I was like, that was kind of the most obvious.
Right. It was weird they set that up, because they said, well, the only thing is that they don't look at the camera. But she figures out that, like, Lou Carroll, which is one of his aliases for Lewis Carroll, he was never looking at, in this portrait,
right, never, looking at the camera.
Head on at the
painter.
The painter. Yeah, exactly. So, and that's how she figures it out. So they run through 100 most famous mathematicians, I guess,
and matches up the names with other people, and they finally get to the,
of course it's number 100
Christian. Yeah. And I was like, you know what, just start at 100 and then you can work your way up. So it's Christian Wolf,
which we know is the character's name.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah, that's his name.
That's
that he's
his real
going
name?
By currently is,
oh,
Christian.
Yeah,
Wolf.
Okay, okay.
Yeah,
they never say his real name.
Probably not. But okay,
but they,
yeah,
say his brothers.
But he says, he introduces himself as Christian Wolf and
okay,
whatever.
So it turns out, like, this is the guy. Like, they do all the, all of this fact checking, they do all this background, and they figure out that that ZZZ accounting,
yeah,
which is where you see the old people in the very beginning, he has been using that. There's an, it was in a strip mall, and he uses all of the, like,
all
none
the,
of all the businesses.
Fronts. All the businesses are shells,
right,
in the strip mall.
And he's using them all to launder his money.
Because they're like, ZZZ accounting, that's not good
dumb
for the yellow
that's
pages,
awful,
if that were a thing.
Right, yeah. Who uses the yellow pages?
He doesn't want to be found.
So it turns out he's been being paid, you know, in cash, but he's also like, people pay me in other, with other ways. So there's your Action Comics, there's your original Jackson Pollock,
that's
all
cool,
that stuff.
Your Precious Moments collection,
the big one that was huge.
Those
eyes, all the Beanie Babies,
right?
Yeah, those are massive.
Pogs.
Pogs.
I can't even
Cabbage Patch.
I can't even tell you how many Pogs this
the
guy
clam,
had.
The
Garbage Pail Kids.
The Disney clamshell VHSs.
The rare ones, the first editions.
Right,
those are,
otherwise, what's the point?
You may be sitting on a fortune. Click here to find out which ones.
And it's like,
those ones?
It's the rare Canadian variant that nobody fudging has.
Beauty and the Beast with this box from Canada.
Make sure it has the diamond on the cover.
There were 5 copies ever made. Of course Grandma bought that for me.
Yeah. So he goes, like, Affleck kind of said, he takes Anna Kendrick away, he puts her in a hotel, and he kind of leaves. He's like, look, he writes her a note, but the note didn't make any sense.
You need a guy that will make you wow?
Is that what it said?
Yeah. What?
Yeah. It was weird.
Like, instead of, like, you need a guy that will treat you right or whatever, it was like, you need a guy that will make you wow.
Yeah.
Because she had
was
said
that an inside.
No, she referenced it because she said she wanted to wear the dress. She wanted the fancy dress for prom because she wanted to walk in and make everybody say wow.
Oh, okay.
So
I didn't get that last.
He said
reference.
You deserve wow.
Okay.
With that makes a lot more sense. When he wrote that, I was like, "That's
I didn't, right, I'm like that's bad grammar."
Maybe
I guess he's an accountant.
Maybe that's just the autism kicked in at that point. He didn't know what he was writing.
I just missed that last. I mean, I heard it now that you
and
say.
And also,
it,
I was like, Anna Kendrick, any room you walk into.
Yeah.
You're going to get a wow. It's fine. Especially if you're wearing a Vera Wang black dress.
That was a good, again, like the writing.
Good story.
Yeah.
Great
I'm
story.
Telling you, this guy is a good writer.
Well,
like,
here's the my problem with it. And overall, I enjoyed the movie. Fine. Like, it's not phenomenal, but I enjoyed it enough. But I, like, we get to this part where J.K. Simmons just does this
information dump,
exposition dump, and the backstory was interesting, but it was like there was too much backstory, and then they had to cram it into 5 minutes.
It was really, really complex and long. No, I thought I was going to make the same case when he starts telling the agent. We flash back to that first opening scene with the house and who killed all these guys. That was him as like a early on agent, and I was like, that lasted. It felt like 10 minutes, and I'm like, that was a really long flashback.
It was a long
flashback. It was too much. Yeah. Like, it was interesting, but
it was a flashback
much.
That they go back to a lot.
Yeah.
So, like, she is listening to, she gets the video from the Gambino from the
Let's go through the exposition dump so we can
just get it out there.
Yeah.
So the agent finds
the facial recognition
the facial
matches the video,
and then we see Ben Affleck kill these two mob guys outside.
John Wick.
Yeah, and then he goes inside, and then this is where we cut to who we find out to be J.K. Simmons, is the guy whose feet we see in the very beginning, and he sees all these people getting knocked, you know, dead, and then all of a sudden Affleck comes up from behind him, and he's just kind of like points the gun to the back of his head. He's like, "Who do you work for?" And he, you know, Treasury, and he kind of goes blah 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 blah.
He's like, "I got a family, two
I got
kids.
A family, two kids." He's like, "Are you a good dad?" And at this point, I was like, "It's Affleck's dad." Like this.
I
was wondering, like, but
that's too much.
And we see the dad at the funeral. So
we haven't seen. We haven't gotten to that part.
Okay,
yet.
That's after.
But
no,
even then,
second,
I was like, you don't normally recast an actor for aging purposes, between the age if you're going to age him from 40 to 52.
That's true.
You know,
that's true. Yeah. But I was like,
but I thought it for a second too.
Like, oh my god,
man.
It's his old man.
Yeah, but I did have that moment.
That would be the twist, right?
That would be
twist.
So he kind of lets him go, right? And then
not kind of, he lets him go.
Yeah, it's true. He does not kill him.
He holds on to him and can't hold him long enough.
Kind of
lets him go.
Yeah. And then we realize that Affleck, the operator, this British operator, all of J.K. Simmons' cases that he has been breaking out throughout his entire career, this operator has been tipping him off. So his entire career is kind of bullshit. Because he's still getting all the busts, but it's not like he's been doing the legwork.
Yeah.
He's just been like, you may want to go check out this shipping container, or you may want to go check out this other thing.
So basically,
he just shows up and is like, hey, something happened.
Yeah.
Here. Yeah.
So basically, he's like, we don't want to take down, like, this guy's really a good guy.
Then we get Affleck's backstory where
the mom
leaves him, like, they, because she can't handle it.
She really leaves the dad. Let's get this. She's trying to help the kids, and she wants them to go to the autism camp.
Then those kids go with her.
Right, but I'm just saying,
No. She leaves that entire family behind.
That dad's an a-hole.
I don't disagree with that, but...
Or she left him.
She left the dad, but she made no effort, which we find out later, no effort to go get those boys.
That's true. She should have.
She left everybody behind.
But you know
behind.
That dad the whole time. You're just like, what a jackass.
I totally agree.
He was like an abusive, basically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was terrible.
But she also, she made no effort to go get those kids.
Yeah.
You know? And she started her own, a whole new family, and makes no reference to her old family.
Yeah.
Other than what it sounds like, she said they were awful, or he was awful.
Yeah.
So, Affleck has now joined the military as well, just like his dad. And then his mom passes away. So the dad and Affleck go to the funeral or the wake.
Not the younger brother. Though.
Not the younger brother.
Because we can't see him as an adult.
Can't see him as an adult.
Huh.
Yeah.
So
no reason.
None whatsoever.
No, it's John Lithgow. He has this weird Benjamin Button thing going on.
So a fight breaks out at the, because like the mom's new family is totally against either one of them being there. And I was like, you guys are assholes too.
Yeah, that's really
like, this
crappy.
Is her ex-husband and her son.
Right.
Like, this is your son's brother. What do you do? Like, why
dramatic
would you not let them?
Purposes.
So a fight breaks out. Affleck starts taking people out.
Well, yeah, and it's Affleck's fault because he can't control it. Like,
they start going after his dad, and then somebody gets in Affleck's face,
right?
And they start telling him to leave.
The dad wasn't going to start a fight. It was Affleck starts punching four people and knocking them out. So
a gun is pulled. They're going to kill, and they end up shooting the dad.
Yeah, the dad jumps in
at
front
the funeral.
Affleck.
At the funeral.
This is a bit.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
But the dad jumps in front of Affleck and takes the bullet.
But you never see it happen. You just see like Affleck on the ground. Like from his point of view, is like the dad.
The hell
dead
kind
on the
of
ground.
Family with this is this new family?
That's the, it's it was.
Who goes to the funeral packing heat?
Well, the sheriffs are there. The sheriff is near.
Okay.
Yeah.
What
do you say?
The sheriff is near.
It's Laurel and Hardy. Yeah.
So.
So now we've got.
So it would appear that it's Affleck's fault for the dad dying.
Somebody thinks that. What?
Yeah.
So this is where we get the backstory that now Affleck is in jail. They transfer him.
That's how he got there.
They transfer him on purpose to be Jeffrey Tambor's protection. And then Jeffrey Tambor gets released. And then he gets kidnapped by the Gambino crime family, and they kill him for being a. Informant.
Rat.
And so then Affleck.
He was the old man?
He was the and old. He, that I didn't. Yes. He's like, I didn't touch that old man.
Mm-hmm.
Affleck finds out who kills him.
And he no likey. Yeah.
And he destroys everybody.
And that's what the slaughter of all these
that's
10
how it turns
people
out,
or whatever.
Yeah. The opening scene was this all to get to that.
So it all ties together. It's a pretty complex
It was a lot of information in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
A lot of exposition. I really feel like this would have worked better either as a book or a story or a TV series.
This was the one
for sure.
That's the one. I enjoyed this film. Like, I was into it. But, like, during that scene is where I go, okay, this is a lot to pack into this.
This is where I started to tune out a little bit.
Especially this late into the film.
Right. Because we're at the end. Like, we're at the climax. We're about ready to finish.
So they head out to Chicago, which is where
John Lithgow is.
Yeah.
And Affleck is like,
so the Treasury's heading off to Chicago.
I'm killing them all.
Lithgow's going, or Affleck's going to Lithgow.
Right.
And at this point, I thought, that's interesting that Anna Kendrick is just leaving her. I'm like, are we going to see her again? Because think about it, for a while, barely. We don't. I mean,
see her one more time, and
you're thinking they're going to be a thing or whatever, and it's like 20, 30 minutes go by, and you haven't seen her. I'm like, wow, they really just dropped
He's
that.
Really good at hiding her.
Yeah.
He just put her in a hotel, and was like, she's like, I can't afford this. He's like, it's on me.
Yeah.
So Affleck is staking out John Lithgow's place.
Meanwhile, inside, you've got
John
Bernthal in the army.
Yeah.
Like, he's got 20 security guards. Like,
and I was like it's SWAT. It's not enough.
These are like military police or whatever. You know what I mean? They're packing machine guns.
They're ex special forces.
Yeah, exactly. They're
working in the private sector.
Exactly. Yeah.
So Affleck starts taking everybody out.
Yeah.
He goes through everybody. He gets, big old shootout and fight scenes and knife battles,
which is good. Again, I thought Affleck was awesome in
he
scenes.
Was Affleck knows how to frame do an action sequence at this point.
So we get to the very end where Affleck is shot and wounded, and he's basically on the ground, and there's a guy that finds him.
Well, okay, I feel like we should reference that he shoved a grenade into a dude's vest.
It can't have been a normal grenade.
Pulled him in close.
I think it maybe was like a smoke grenade or something.
Maybe. Or was it supposed to be like a Kevlar vest, so it was on the inside of the Kevlar?
He shoved it underneath the Kevlar and pulled him in.
Yeah, I think that it was maybe like a smoke grenade, though. Like, so where the impact, the explosion killed...
Bang? Yeah, maybe a flashbang.
The explosion killed the guy, but it wasn't a grenade that would necessarily shoot shrapnel, so... but then, so he's been shot, so he's kind of laying on the ground, and another ex-SEAL, whatever, these special agent guys, is about
We should say that John Bernthal has been watching all of this on a monitor.
Yeah.
And he sees the face of Affleck.
And John immediately, like, what's going on? He's frozen in his tracks.
He immediately gets up, and he goes in, and this other special forces guy is going to kill Affleck. He's like, stop.
Stand down. He's like,
And Bernthal just goes, poof, and shoots the other guy.
And then, Dan, what happens from here?
Big reveal.
Yeah.
Ta-da! John Bernthal's name is Braxton, and he's the brother.
Yeah.
He's the other brother. They have a pretty good fight, a pretty good fist fight, and then they both kind of give, Affleck won't fight back.
Right.
He's
punching him, and he's telling Affleck, fight back. He's like, and finally he does. Like, okay.
Yeah.
And then he gets him on the ground, points a gun at him, and basically is like, I win. He doesn't shoot him, but he's like, I'm superior.
Right.
And
so they kind of have, he's like, why did you ask him to go to the funeral? He's like, you should have asked me. We're family. Like, I would have gone with you.
And at this point, in my head, I go, Lithgow is going to pop out and shoot the brother.
Okay, so...
Did you not think that was coming? Yeah. Like, it can't be happy ending with the brothers.
What I thought
was
coming
he gets shot.
Is they were both going to shoot Lithgow.
I thought Lithgow, happy reunion, and I'm like, Lithgow's like, screw this, and shoots the brother in the head. Thought that was happening.
So they, Lithgow comes out and gives us...
Just talks to him.
Yeah. And then Affleck's like, yeah, whatever.
It was almost like, what was the movie where, at the end of the movie... The guy gives the speech, and then at the end, the guy just kills him anyway. Where you don't think he's gonna. What movie was that from recently? Where the guy's talking
Hell or High
to
Water?
Him? Was that Hell or High Water? What movie was it? Like, the bad guy is talking, like, oh, you can't do this, and blah blah blah, and talking to him, and then after that whole monologue, the guy just shoots him.
Well, this guy, what I liked about this is Lithgow starts the monologue. He's like, I was gonna use this money, and it's gonna do all this thing, and here's what I suffered. Do you have any idea what? And he's like, yes, boom.
Yeah, that was good.
And like, that was it. He's like, I have no patience for any of this.
I'm done.
But then the funniest part of the movie is the look
that John Bernthal gives him.
The look on his face when he's just like, you just shot, like, what just happened here? And and he's like horrified, but also trying not to laugh.
Yes.
Like, I mean, it was just,
It was a very funny scene.
And it's just really testament to his skills as an actor, because there's no way that's on the page. The page is probably like, gives him a shocked look or something. And it's like, and the look he gives him is just priceless.
Yeah.
Of like,
I don't think Bernthal gets the credit he should get as an actor. I mean, we've seen him as Shane on The Walking Dead.
Hate Shane.
Of course you do.
Yeah, but he did a great job.
Yeah, that's a good actor. No, all right. I mean,
a character that we liked, and then a character that we just definitely disliked.
Yeah, then you see him as the Punisher. And I mean, he's getting his own TV show. Like, he nailed that character to the point where it was like, yeah, okay, you're the new Punisher. That's fantastic. Yeah, so I don't think he gets a lot of credit for being a good actor, but he is. Like that, you're saying, that scene was fantastic.
And he's good at comedy too. He was on a sitcom, about 10 years ago called The Class, and it was supposed to be like CBS's big breakout sitcom, and it was kind of like their friends, and it was like these kids that went to like grade school together that are all kind of reconnecting. And there's like all sorts of people that have gone on to be big deals. So like he's in it, and then the redheaded gay guy on Modern Family
on it. Yeah, the brother.
Yeah, then the
is he actually gay?
I think
he
so.
Because the other guy's not, right?
The other guy's not, but right. He's gay. He is.
Yeah.
And then with Libby...
Lizzie Kaplan?
Yeah, Lizzie Kaplan was on it.
She's also just as adorable.
Yeah, Jason Ritter was on it. It was like going to be this huge thing. Huh. And it was having trouble, and it kind of found its footing, and then they just canceled it. And which was a huge mistake, because in its slot, they put this sitcom nobody remembers.
I think Jason Ritter is now on Arrow.
Called Big Bang Theory.
Ugh. I was going to ask, like you said, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's almost, yeah. So they kind of have a sit down. They're just kind of like, he's like, you want to get lunch sometime? And he was like, yeah, I do. He's like, Bernthal's like, well, how will I find you? He's like, I'll find you.
Yeah.
And that, like, that's, I was like, come on.
But it's like, I don't know, because it's like, they have the same dad. Like, they have the same skill set.
Right.
It's just one. Right.
Like, Bernthal can also find you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very simple.
And so.
So we.
I think, you know what? And when you talk about a testament to John Bernthal's acting, what you're really thinking back to is We Are Your Friends.
He's the douchebag Russian guy, and We Are Your Friends. That's not what I was talking about.
Hey, guys got to eat.
Yeah, got to make that money somehow.
Guys got to eat.
You know? So we flash forward to Anna Kendrick, who is getting her house back in order from the bullet holes, and Affleck does break a guy's face into her sink and like cracks her sink off the wall. And there's a UPS delivery. So earlier in the movie, they referenced that like somebody liked a picture
her
of
dad.
Her dad had no taste in art. He liked the dogs playing poker.
And then Affleck's like, yeah, it's dogs playing poker.
Yeah,
that's nonsensical. Like, that's, of course, that's funny.
Yeah.
And the most like, you know, emotionless response. Yeah. So she opens it up.
Yeah, it was basically like, but that is the definition of humor.
Right.
he's like, it's very incongruent.
Yeah, he said it was incongruent. Yeah.
So she opens
dogs
it up.
Dogs would never bet on poker.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
She opens it up, and it's a photo. It's a painting of
dogs playing poker.
Yeah. Now,
like,
she pulls it out, and it's all from, like, you're facing her, so all you see is the back, mm-hmm. and you're just like, oh, man, he gave her the Pollock. Yeah, and of course she pulls
art.
It. Yeah.
And it's dogs playing poker. Oh, it's a joke.
So then she goes and realizes that the corner's jacked up.
It's fabric. Well, no, it's fabric. It's
right.
Not paint. Because she looks earlier and she kind of touches.
If you get it, hang on.
It's a canvas painting.
If you get a painting of dogs playing poker, you're going to do it right. You're going to get it on velvet.
Right.
Yes.
You have to do it that way.
Think it through.
Yeah. You don't have a choice.
He's a classy guy.
So she messes with it and pulls it back and realizes it is the Pollock. So,
I thought it'd been funny if she pulled it back and it would have been like a Elvis on velvet. And then that would have had a tear, and she'd have pulled that back, and it would have been like a sad clown.
Yeah.
And it just would have kept going.
And then the big eyes.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
It was just a John Wayne Gacy painting.
Yeah.
She was an art major. Like, mm-hmm. that's the other
thing. She, like, hangs it over a couch or something.
Just, yeah. You know, I was just, like, where do you put that, though?
I'm like,
you know?
You tell me you're not going to put that at least behind, like, a glass protection. Yeah. Like,
put it in the bathroom.
Yeah, right, right.
Because every you'd be like, I own a Jackson Pollock. You like,
oh, my God.
But I'm thinking, like, what is she going to do with that?
Exactly what she did with it.
Yeah, yeah. That's about it.
And then Affleck's shown driving away. And that's kind of how it ends.
And that's it. So so that's how the movie ends. So let's ask this question. Is this offensive?
I think it would be offensive if Affleck played it differently.
Right.
Because he didn't play. I think the whole thing is...
I mean, he definitely underplays
the daughter,
it. Yeah.
The daughter, I think...
Reveal.
Yeah, well, there's one more reveal.
Oh, sorry.
That's actually the good reveal.
Where
so the whole time,
I did not
we,
see this
we,
coming
we
at all.
We didn't address this for Dan. So the whole time, he's like...
His handler.
He's got this handler that's talking to him in like
the British lady.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, did we mention that? Okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Briefly,
So you find out at the end, you go to the... You go
to this little camp that they tried to take him to that the dad wouldn't let him. That
and
was
he's
like,
been donating to it.
So basically, all this money he's been getting, he's been funneling to this place. And then they go into the room, and you see that this girl who helped
who
with
we
the
saw,
puzzle
yeah.
piece. Couldn't that was non-communicative. Well, she can
the
communicate.
One who gave him the last piece.
Yes. Right, she can communicate with a keyboard,
mm-hmm. and she has like a supercomputer,
and in a supercomputer, and it has a British robot voice, and so she's been his handler.
And she calls him Cupcake, which is what
Dreamboat.
Dreamboat, which is what she had. The operator was calling. And
yeah,
that was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I did not see that one coming.
The
brother was a really lazy.
I figured out
reveal.
He was the brother yeah. when he shot at him.
Yeah, but
that's when I was like, oh, it's his brother.
But that was a good reveal. But,
yeah,
like I've seen some people complaining online about like, oh, autism isn't a superhero, but. And I'm like, man, that's such a double-edged sword, because on you're the right. one hand, you're going to turn around and say, there aren't any positive representations of this. And,
right.
then when somebody does, it's like, well, it's been reduced to a
correct.
Superpower.
No.
And it's like,
yeah, no.
And I'm like, but it, but.
I mean, from what you're saying, his ability, like his skills, like the shooting and everything, that has nothing to do with the autism.
No, it's
right.
his numbers.
Called training.
His numbers right. have to do with the
yes. It's the numbers yeah. and the focus.
But I mean, like, yeah. I think people are you know, kind of compressing everything like that happens in the movie
right.
to be a result of autism, and it's like that. But that's clearly not the case.
It's
right.
not. No,
those and things are all just
his
training.
Dad trained him. To
I can,
fight. Right.
I can
that.
See. I can
he
see.
Has autism, and it's nature versus nurture. His character
right.
has all. He's somewhere on the autism spectrum.
Yes.
But he lived in a household where the dad shaped him in a certain
yes,
direction.
Correct. Correct. You know? And it's obviously you see this the girl who has a severe case
right.
of autism, and I could see where maybe that is offensive only because it's a non-autistic person,
but it's also not a silly comedy.
It's not, yeah, exactly. But I can get that. Like yeah, I can see
I
that
know.
I can
yeah.
see that argument where I mean you don't argue when Sherlock does it, like Sherlock
right,
has
exactly.
it,
right?
You know, like the way that Benedict Cumberbatch plays it.
And I think what people are reacting to is that because he kills people, and that.
But I see your point. Like it's
yeah.
not from the autism,
but he
like,
kills
yeah.
people
training.
From the training, not because of the
right.
autism.
Yeah,
yeah.
The autism.
Like, the autism isn't what drives him to kill.
The autism
right.
lends to his
yeah,
other
and,
job,
and he's not like a cold blooded murderer. He's not like
right.
a serial killer because of his
guys.
Autism.
Right.
He's like you. Yeah, it's like I thought it
yeah.
was you know interesting. Some people were offended. By
I get
it.
People
I,
you
I
know,
get it,
by
but
anything.
It's like, but then you know it's. You know, it's kind
you can't
of
have your cake and eat it too.
You know, it's kind of like black people went through this problem in movies, and not that they still don't have issues getting roles and whatnot, but there was this period where there were no black characters in movies.
Sure.
And mm-hmm. then when there were black characters, they were almost always criminals. And then like it kind of tilted the other direction.
Or they were like butlers or
sure, yeah. yeah. But then it kind of tilted back the other direction where whenever there was a movie with a black lead about race, it was like they made the person like so perfect. It's Sidney Poitier, and guess who's coming to dinner?
Martin Luther King
and
yeah.
he's a doctor, and he saved a puppy, and it's like
right.
everything is like so over the top that it's like, well, now there are no interesting roles because you've taken all the character out of it.
Yeah.
But then black actors didn't want to always have to play villains, and it was
yeah,
a weird line to walk. And really, the first time I remember seeing kind of a major black actor play a villain, like kind of in the present day, was probably Denzel.
I was thinking
in Training Day.
Yeah.
And he made a point for a long time to not take the villain roles
yeah.
because he's like, he felt like that was sending a message. And he got to a point where he's like, I've done enough of that to where I can take that. And it's an interesting twist to see him as that.
As the bad
now.
Guy. Yeah.
Now it's like, oh my God, Denzel Washington is a bad guy. Not here's
and
a black
he's a,
guy
he's
playing
a good bad guy.
He was, yeah, he was really good.
Brilliant that
so,
role.
Anyway, I just thought that was a,
yeah, I don't think it was done in poor taste or, I mean,
you know, I think if he had had
he was Rain Man and Up the Joint.
Yes.
You know, not that
yeah.
that was offensive. That's a different movie and a different type of story. And
yeah.
it works in that story.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think if he was taking it up a notch,
yeah.
I think it could definitely have,
because it definitely needs to be a character that's like on the spectrum, but
here on the spectrum.
Yeah, not right, like not, the other lady
right.
who's the ends up being the handler.
Right.
You know? I think from the other side, I think it's doing a lot for autism because it's a mainstream movie that's making people aware of autism and also showing that people with autism can lead normal lives.
That people with autism can kill people just like regular people. Yeah.
Come on. But you know, I think
very good seriously. 50 caliber sniper rifles.
Right. So I think that's a good part of it.
Yeah. So Dan, do you have a video recovery for us?
Yeah. And I think I honestly this morning I was like, did I do that one? Well, I don't remember. You know. So I'm showing where I am on the spectrum. it actually stars John Lithgow, and it's a 1981 movie by Brian De Palma.
Oh,
Ricochet.
Dressed to Kill.
No. Blowout.
Body Double. Oh.
Blowout. Which is actually based on a French film called Blow Up, but Blowout. It stars John Travolta, who's amazing.
Is that
in this
a De Palma
movie?
That's a De Palma movie?
It's a De Palma movie.
Oh.
Yeah. It's one that's kind of fallen off the radar of his like repertoire, but it's got a Criterion version. It's really pretty excellent. John Travolta plays a sound engineer. He's basically just a Foley artist, ADR artist, and he does all the sound work for films. So it's actually opens like there's like a horror movie opening, and you're watching it, and there's all the creepy audio, and there's like a girl in a shower and a guy with a knife, and then the girl turns around and she's like, and it's like this horrible scream, and the director's like, God, and and they got to get like, he's like, you got to give me a better scream, and blah blah blah. Fast forward, John Travolta is out just capturing audio. He's capturing his library of audio. He's capturing, like, there's an owl over here. I'm going to capture that. And he's capturing nature sounds. And he's got his microphone and his big reel-to-reel tape. And then he hears something, and it sounds like a pop. And then all of a sudden, there's tires squealing. And then next thing you know, over on the other side, you see this car go flying into a ravine. And there's water. And it's Nancy Allen. He gets her out. And then
I forgot it's Nancy Allen.
Yeah, Nancy Allen in it. And then whoever else is in the car dies, and then it turns out to be like a senator, and then it turns into this massive scandal, and it turns into this a really good mystery. If you haven't seen this movie, it's really worth checking out, because you take this guy who's just this audio engineer who becomes obsessed with trying to crack what happened, and he just gets more and more obsessed, and he's like listening to the audio, and he's backtracking it.
It kind of sounds like The Conversation.
Yes, very similar to that.
I was like, the conversation we just had?
Yeah. Oh, nothing sounds like
conversation.
Except every other one of our
conversations. And John Lithgow, who, this is one of his very, very early movies, is in the movie.
I think his first was Garp, right?
This might have been
was this predate Garp?
Yeah, this is before Garp.
Okay.
He very creepy in this movie.
He was in Dressed to Kill, though, right?
No. Well, that was Michael Caine.
All right.
I don't think he's got a role in that.
Body Double?
But, he's also in a movie, Raising Kane.
That's what it is.
Yeah,
okay. All right.
If you haven't seen this movie, it's really worth checking
that's
out.
That's what I was thinking of, not Ricochet. I was thinking of
Raising Kane. Yeah, it's really worth checking out.
That early De Palma stuff, after watching that documentary, like I've gone back and tried to find. The only one I can't find is Sisters, which is the one that I want to find.
So this is kind of like a sideways, sort of related movie, but... Because I was like, I can't find anything that goes with this. So here's one.
I get that.
But I got John Lithgow.
Cool. So.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Dan.
Yeah, no problem.
So I guess that's it for this episode. We will go around the table and people can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBrackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you would like to continue the conversation online, we will be there waiting for you at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers or on Twitter at RealSpoilers or on our website, RealSpoilers.com or DirtyPirateHookers.com.
Yeah.
If it's working.
Just checked it the other day. Still up and running.
Awesome. Cool. So that's it for this episode. I think the movie of the week next week will probably be Jack Reacher.
It's either that or Keeping Up with the Joneses.
So...
Yeah, Jack Reacher?
Probably Jack Reacher.
Jack Reacher resurgence.
Never go back.
Please be a hit this
check
time.
Check your calendar, boys. It's called Jack Reacher.
That first one wasn't bad.
It's called Jack Reacher Reach Around.
It wasn't.
Jack Reacher Reach Around.
It's on the calendar.
But it wasn't a hit. Not in America.
It was not. It was not a hit
overseas.
Yeah.
So that'll be what we will tackle for our movie of the week next year. And until
next year?
Next year. Next week. There we go.
Wow. What happened week. To Rogue One?
It's been a long week. Well, we had to make a choice.
Yeah.
Oh, we had to do something much to be made. So thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Needy kills Malone in an ambush.
I'm the operator with my pocket calculator. I'm the operator with my pocket calculator.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.